Hi, how are you? It's okay? English,
Yeah.
English, yes.
English channel?
And English, yes, good.
Good,
Thank you
thank you.
much.
Into Spanish.
Great.
Yeah.
Good morning, translators. Can I just get you to quickly just to give me a quick 1, 2, 3, 4 into your each of your microphones, please? If we could do French. French is good. If we could have Spanish, please. Spanish is good. Thank you very much.
Hello, does anybody have a morning song they'd like to hear this morning? Yeah, a morning song. Yeah, I could sing. You want a song? Anybody wants to hear some music? No, because the weather's so good. If I sing, it's going to be raining and thunderstorms and hurricane. Right, that's good news.
There you go.
This song has more meanings than one.
the final countdown. That's the name of the song. So this is your final countdown. Counting down to launch. Look at that.
Okay, well, let's start. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Oh, okay, thank you, great. And again, listen, you know, I know those of us, or those of you who went out last night, probably are still in the zone of between sleep and being awake, that zombie zone. So I understand, you know, but grab a cup of coffee. There's still a lot of goodies in the back there. So if you're not feeling up to 100%, you know, feel free to grab something. There's coffee and other items of delight. Right, so we don't quite have a full house as yet, but this morning we do have some fantastic people coming through.
I need to talk about this.
You want to speak about that? All right, so Jenny's going to give us about that. All right, so I'm just going to chit-chat in the meantime. So how was last night? Did anybody go to the gala dinner? Yeah, it was good. It was fantastic, I think. We can't complain about that. And I know some people took pictures, so we'll have to find out who has those photos so we don't get blackmailed.
To raise them or to post them on Facebook?
Both. Neither or. So, yeah, I mean, I just want to thank everybody for coming, those who are here early. You know, it's very important. And also how important it is, again, and I want to thank everyone who has remembered to put their laptop down, which is, to me, the ultimate mark of respect to the person who is speaking with us. I'll tell you why. I mean, it's very hard to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning or, you know, whatever time, and come here sometimes 2 hours before their own constituency meeting just to spend time with us. So when they are actually engaging us, you know, it's so heartening for them to see that we are actually there watching them almost, when I say that, engaging with them directly. Sometimes it could be disheartening to see everybody typing away on their laptops and or mobile. So I want to thank everyone who has done that and, of course, at the same time engaged. Besides that, I mean, the meetings continue today. We do have a somewhat long day, but an extraordinarily interesting day. Jenny, I'm not going to take it away from you because you'll probably want to say more.
Yeah, we had schedule changes.
Oh, there's schedule changes.
Yeah, I mean, same people, different schedule.
All right, fine, that's okay. But so today is, I would say, almost the last day, which is the big day, because a lot of things are happening. But let me not say anything more on that. Jenny's going to say something. And of course, you know, every meeting so far, we've heard the same thing over and over, which is the network. You know, we've heard, you know, yesterday and the day before, people say that, you know, you're going to come to these meetings and you're going to hear experts in the industry speaking. And if not now, when? If not now, when would be the perfect time to meet these people? Now is the time. Now is the time to get their information, exchange your information, make the connections. Even if you have not yet joined any constituency or may not want to join at this point in time, at least you have the ability to be in the same room or at the same coffee table with those people who are industry experts or subject matter experts. So again, I want to encourage you as much as possible to pull people aside and say, listen, you know, there's something that you mentioned. I'm really interested in this thing. You know, please, could you tell me more? Right. So, Jenny, I'm going to pass it over to you, and maybe you'll just give us some rundown of what's happening today.
Thank you. Good morning. Oh, that was pretty good for everybody who was out late last night. That night, well done, well done. The list that you see on the screen, the timing has changed a bit, but from 7:15 to 7:45, that has stayed the same. We're going to have a briefing from the RSAC, and from around 7:45 to about 8 o'clock, possibly, We're still waiting for some confirmation. We're going to have a briefing on the nominating committee, the NomCom. And then from 8 to 8:30 is when Fadi Chahadi will be here to talk to us. And possibly, depending on how it works out, from 8:30 to 8:45, we may have some time for some extra questions for the representation from the NomCom to give us a heads up. So just wanted to let you know, the list is the same. The timing is a bit different. And then from 10:30 to 1:30, there's going to be a public session on ICANN accountability and the transition of the NTIA stewardship of the IANA functions. So it's an opportunity for all of you to ask the questions that you may have. It's in the main room where the opening ceremony was. It's going to be a good session. So please come. It's similar to the public forum, but it's basically just on this one topic. So it's an opportunity to ask questions and become engaged that way. So we have a few minutes before our first speaker is here. So please continue. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. I have to apologize to Jenny for calling her Jenny. Her name is Jeannie. And I want to apologize to everyone else whose name I've gotten incorrect. And I'm trying my utmost best to get everybody's name correct, but please forgive me. You know, I am trying. All right, so, I mean, we do have a couple of minutes, and I want to invite anybody who has anything they may wish to say it at this point. Anything, Martin? You're most welcome to. Well, I want to say as well, I mean, we do have a session at, I believe it's at 8:30.
8:45. And at the end of that session, Jorge is going to come back and do another picture.
Oh, you could say it. You could.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
That reminds me, yes, at 8:45 we'll be having our closing session, and at the end of that, Jorge will be back to take another picture of us, so post-gala picture faces on. yeah, should be a good one.
All right, so, okay, so again, if anybody, I mean, this is the, we do have that session where we are going to wrap up, so if you want, you could share your feelings about the program and how this week has been at that point in time. So, you know, in this, feel free at this point in time to gather your thoughts, and at 8:45, we could share deeper. All right, so,
one more thing.
Yeah, Jenny.
So Janice is in the RP room, she is saying hello, and she thinks you have all done a fantastic job from all reports that she's gotten. And so if you want to log into the Adobe room, please feel free. But at the same time, when our speaker gets here, please laptops down.
good morning, Janice. Oh, actually, she didn't. Yeah. So
she can hear you.
She could hear me. I was waiting for her to say, good morning. All right. So, okay. So, yeah. So again, this morning, laptops down again, and I too want to compliment everybody who has been able to survive, quote unquote, the week. You know, at the end of this, I think we've done like a marathon. You know, it's like a marathon. We've run a marathon, and so
you think so?
I think. I think so. I've run a few marathons in my life, and I think it's like a marathon. And that's why at the end of this, I think everybody deserves a medal of some sort. So it'll be in the form of a certificate. So when you do get your certificate from ICANN, and I hope you guys have provided your address to whence is it meant to go. But your certificate shall be your record of accomplishment of having gone through almost a week of intense meetings, walking up and down, going to different sessions, learning as much as you can learn. And I should also say it's not the end, it's just the beginning. So, yeah, Jenny.
So I also have a request. When you have the time, if you can go to the ICANN website and go to the IANA stewardship page that we have, and the way, if you look at the screen, I can show you really quickly how to navigate there. It's on the front page, and you just click on the IANA stewardship. We're looking for some feedback on the content of it and how easy it is to understand. And since for especially for non-native speakers, so please just have a look at it and send any feedback that you have. If you are having trouble finding something or understanding something, please let us know. So that not right now, but just as you go. Yes.
Yes, I was looking into it because I may join the work group about the YANA transition, and well, we are all discussing about the YANA contract. I haven't found the actual contract to read it and comment it.
So that is actually on the ICANN website. I'll take some time to look for it, and I will suggest that it be moved over here as well.
Okay, thanks, Martin. That's a good question. You're talking about the very first contract that was ever signed with IANA, with ICANN. That one, the first one.
Yes, the one that we are supposed to discuss for, that is going to be, you know, or renewed or
okay.
Given to. I mean, we are already discussing about that contract, but most of us haven't even read the contract.
Right. I understand. That's a very good point. I mean, the IANA functions to me are still a mystery. So when people speak about the protocols that are involved and the IANA functions, I mean, some of us are still trying to get up to speed with exactly what has been handed over the stewardship function of IANA. But in any event, so go to the page, by all means, read and comment where possible on the document. As I think you said, as far as it translates to different languages.
Different languages, usability, understand how easily you can understand it. What we're really trying to get at is, because we want as much community involvement as possible on this, it's important that it be easy to navigate and easy to understand for those who want to, are looking to get involved.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else? We have a few minutes before we actually start. How?
I have some. Later today, there's a session. There's a lot of sessions, but the ICANN Public Forum and the ICANN Public Meeting, Board Meeting. In the ICANN Public Forum, we can actually go up and ask questions or just say something, and I think both of them are really good sessions to end up the meeting, the whole meeting.
That is one of the highlights of this meeting. So, by all means, do make sure you're there, because it is an extraordinarily important meeting, and it does show how the ICANN board is open, at least to, you know, questions, and so you do have a public interface with the board, which is extraordinary for many companies. Yeah, how?
Good morning. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
How are you? You survived the gala? Only just, yeah? Okay. For those of you who came in a little bit later, there's coffee and tea at the back. So please grab yourself some coffee or tea or whatever. And then please sit, take a seat, so that when the speakers arrive, we're already settled, okay? The other thing is, the registration form is passing by. Please make sure that you sign. Yesterday I had people come up to me and say they had not signed. The registration closed at 7:45 yesterday. So anybody that came after that, it was already closed. So we take it that you didn't attend the session, if you came at 7:45 or later. So please, by all means, sign the registration. And it is important, part of being a fellow is that you have to respect the time, you have to respect other people's time, and you have to respect the speakers that get up so early in the morning. You can imagine, even though we struggle to get here in the morning, imagine they have to get up and prepare for the session. So you can imagine how early they have to get up. So can we just show them that bit of respect and make sure that... the next time you are given a fellowship, you are here on time and you respect other people's time. Thank you.
Thank you. How? Okay, people, it's a great pleasure at this point in time to introduce Lars Johan Lyman from RSAC. And I'm not even going to attempt to say what that acronym stands for, but we do have the subject matter expert here, and I want to welcome him. And Lars, it's over to you.
Thank you. Yes, my name is Lars Johan Lyman, and I am one of the two co-chairs of the Root Server System Advisory Committee, one of the probably the very smallest committee on ICANN, and we are one of the advisory committees to the board. Now, my first question, how much time do I have?
I think about
25 minutes.
25 minutes. Yeah. Okay. Just and I will. I'm sorry. I was trying to find my way in the hotel here, and when I eventually got here, the signs outside are really confusing. So I thought this might be a different meeting. So I didn't want to bust in here and disturb you. If you just give me a second to find the thing, I wanted to have a look here.
Do you want a presentation on the
screen? If there is an easy way to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so we're just going to hook up.
I was intending to use parts of the slides.
No, not all.
Well, it doesn't matter, because we're not going to have time to run through all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of. It wasn't my intent to make your life this complicated.
It's Arasak, man, it's Arasak. It's an Arasak thing.
I'll probably have to give it a chance to adjust to that. This is not bad. Woo! Ah. Technology. Sorry. So, what is RSAC? RSAC is an advisory committee to the board, and our scope is very narrow. We only focus on the root server system that distributes the root zone. So, what's the root zone? The DNS system is hierarchical. So, when a client, your typical laptop, wants to know something that is related to a domain name, it has to look it up in the DNS database. And that database is hierarchical, but the little laptop doesn't know how to navigate the large database, so it will send its query to a nearby helping server. And when you connect to a Wi-Fi network like here, there's always such a server somewhere. And that server is more competent. It will know how to navigate the system, and it also keeps a cache, a temporary memory of things it has already learned. So with some luck, the thing you're asking for is in the temporary memory, the cache, and you will get an immediate response. If not, it will have to navigate the large database of servers that are related to each other but not interconnected. But there are pointers that will refer you to other servers. And that is a hierarchical system, so it only works downwards. So if this helping server, the resolver, doesn't know the answer, it doesn't have it in the temporary memory, it will reach out, and depending on how much information it has in the temporary memory, it can shortcut the process. But if it doesn't know anything, it will start out at a root server. And if you have take my name, www.liman.se. I'm Swedish, so I live in the .se domain. It will ask that query to the root server. And the root server knows very little, actually. It only knows where the top-level domain servers are. That's the only information. And some security signatures and stuff around that. But the essential information is where are the servers for the other top-level domains. Where is the servers for .se for Sweden? Where are the servers for FR for France? Where are the servers for ZA for South Africa? And com, net, org, biz, info. It doesn't make a difference between GTLDs and CCTLDs. Once you're on the technical level, there is no difference. No difference. The root servers are actually not special software, not special machinery, not special. They are ordinary name servers that just happen to sit at the top of the database. That's the only thing that's strange with them. But you can imagine that the list of servers is actually pretty small. If you go to a medium to large size CCTLD or GTLD, they have millions of domain names. The root servers don't. They have a couple of hundred. So the database, the piece of the database that's stored in a root name server is tiny. But it is the key, the entry key to the entire system. So small but rather important. And we also do get a lot of queries. So that is about the root servers. These are operated by 12 different organizations, and they go back a long time in internet history. So I happen to work for NetNode. We operate one of the root name servers, and they are designated by letters A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, and M. So we operate iRoot in Stockholm. So this root server system is the set of servers that distribute the DNS information, this little tiny piece of the database, to all these helper resolvers that need to find their way in the DNS system. The information in this little piece of the database is what we call the root zone. And that is generated by IANA, which is a part of ICANN. It's then sent for verification to the U.S. Department of Commerce, the NTIA, which I will not try to expand right now because I don't remember, telecommunications and agency, which is a part of Department of Commerce, and then eventually to the company VeriSign, which has a contract with the Department of Commerce to do the hands-on editing in the server that is the starting point of copying this piece of the database, the root zone, to all the root server operators. Now, I said there were 12 organizations. That does not mean that there are only 12 servers. There are actually 13 letters because VeriSign happens to operate two, and that is purely for historical reasons. We were in the process of distributing more servers way back 20 years ago, and John Postel, who was head of IANA at the time, he died very suddenly, and the entire process came to a halt. So that's an artifact of history. That said, it's not even 13 servers, because many of them, not all, but most of the operators have chosen to use a trick called Anycast, which means that we can have servers with the same IP address, which is thought to be impossible, but it actually does work. Multiple servers, several servers with the same IP address. So you will find an iRoot server in Johannesburg. You will find one in Bhutan. You will find one in Vanuatu. You will find one in Beijing. You will find one in so on. So we only iRoot has servers in 50 places over the globe. And some others have even more. ICANN themselves operate LRoot, and they have way over 50 sites. So in total, if you look at all the servers, I think there are more than 300 servers serving the root zone over the entire globe. And we are constantly looking at improving that by adding more servers in areas where there is a substandard service to the community. So this entire system, ICANN generates the data. ICANN kind of figures out what's supposed to be the DNS piece, the root zone. NTIA authorizes, VeriSign executes, the root server operators publish. That entire process is what RSAC looks at. And we don't have any authority to tell any of the players what to do, but we can give advice, specifically to the board, but also to the technical community, to the entire internet community, about what to do in case there is question, there's decision-making that may impact the root service, because this is something that needs to be 100% stable. If this breaks, the internet will not go down like that, but it will deteriorate. But only if the entire system breaks. You don't know. But right now, I would say that for iRoot, probably two or three of our servers are not working. That's normal, because we have hard disks that break. We have power supplies that don't work. We have connectivity problems with the link and so on. But the system is built such that it's automatically redundant, and we do everything we can to keep this up and running so that you won't notice if there's a problem. And the Anycast system helps us a lot with that, because we can take this one site offline like that, and 5 seconds later, everything has kind of adjusted itself, and you wouldn't notice. RSAC advises the board on matters relating to the root zone system, the root zone provisioning system for the entire chain. But we only give advice. We cannot mandate anything. We have no executive role anywhere. We communicate on matters relating to the root. Yeah, that's been through that. Yes, we also try to engage with the rest of the ICANN community. We have been pretty bad at that for a long time, because RSAC is right now undergoing a restructuring process. It will be mainly made up of technical experts in the DNS area. So people who operate authoritative servers, root server operators have a very important say, other TLD operators, both gTLDs and ccTLDs, people who operate these helping resolvers, they are the clients of the system. We need to have them there as well. Security experts. We want a wide selection of experts. But they are mainly technical. And that means that they are typically not attending ICANN conferences for the technical content here, because ICANN conferences are more of a policy-oriented community. So RSAC, even though it is a subcommittee within ICANN, it has been meeting at the IETF meetings, the Internet Engineering Task Force, which is the standardizations body for internet protocols and internet technology. So we've lived our life in parallel with the ICANN conferences, but we've realized in the past year or two that we must engage more with the ICANN community, and the way to do that is to conduct meetings at ICANN meetings. So we've started to do that for the past three or four meetings. One of the things is I am here with you trying to explain what we do and to engage in a dialogue with you as well. That's supposed to be an organizational chart over ICANN, and we are in that little corner there. We are parallel to the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, even though they have a much, much wider scope, much wider area of issues that they deal with. Ours is very, very narrow and focused. We try, as I say, to participate. We have, according to the ICANN bylaws, we have a liaison to the board of directors. We have a liaison to the we have a member in the nominating committee. And we also try to take part in other work parties. So, for instance, we have seats in this NTIA Stewardship Transition Coordination Committee, long name. We are involved in a dialogue with the accountability people, also we try to take part in general stakeholder discussions. And, of course, you're always welcome to approach us if you have questions regarding the root server system, regarding RSAC, how it works, or just the DNS in general. As I said, what we don't do is to mandate anything. We cannot tell the root server operators what to do. We cannot tell the ICANN board what to do. We can give advice. So RSAC is... the ICANN structural review, which happens periodically, there are review teams that go through all the activities of ICANN and recommend improvements. They, of course, also review RSAC, and we had recommendations to improve on a couple of things, to better define the membership and to have a better structure for producing work and making decisions. And also we were actually lacking in staff support in the previous generation of RSAC. Now all of that has been addressed in the new structure, so we have a new model where we have what we refer to as a caucus, which is supposed to be this wide body of experts with various specialties, and then we have the formal committee, RSAC, where the members are appointed by the board. The caucus is appointed by the RSAC formal committee. And we also have liaisons with other bodies. We have liaisons with the Internet Architecture Board on the technical side, with the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, and with... What's the third one? There's one. We're discussing to have one with the GAC as well. So we are just finalizing a document to describe our new operational procedures. So that's what I'm going to continue with when I leave you here later in the morning. And we're also inviting people to this new caucus, the new body of experts. So that's where things stand right at the moment. The idea with the work process is that we will have this body of experts. When we have an issue we need to deal with, we will select a subgroup from this caucus and create a work team who will then produce a draft document, and we will have discussion inside the caucus, and eventually the document will be handed over to the formal committee, who will then take a formal action on the document, which will usually be to publish it and to send it to the board as a recommendation. The formal committee also elect the chairs and liaisons for the group. As I said, I'm one of the two co-chairs. The other one is Professor June Murai from the WIDE project. He is unfortunately not at this meeting, so we'll have to make do with me. And these are the members of the formal committee. We have had people have left the positions with the various organizations, so we have a couple of ones that are waiting for confirmation by the board, but for all practical purposes, they're already working. And all of these members are very happy to talk to you. If you have any questions, just go and find them. I will leave my slides here so that you can share the slides. Liaisons to the board liaison. That's what the third one I was thinking of. We have liaisons with the IANA, VeriSign in its editing function, and the Department of Commerce as well. So. We have people from all the parts of the zone generation process in the committee. I think we've been through that. Yes, one thing we're trying to improve on here is the transparency of the committee. It's been very hidden who the members were. It was more or less defined on the mailing list, and it was impossible to actually no not quite impossible but it was very difficult for anyone to find out who was on the mailing list, and we are now going for a model where we actually will publish who are the members of the caucus, and they will each have to make a public statement on their affiliation and their motivation for joining the group. And of course also we will give credit to the people who actually do the work with the documents. Put up. I think we can skip quickly through this. If you are interested, or if you have technical people around you that are interested in joining the caucus, please have a look at the slides here later on for how to apply to join the caucus. As I said, we're looking for a wide selection of experts, and I must admit that most right now most of the members are from the North American and European side, which is unfortunate because there is so much internet going on in other places that we really would like to reach out to in a better way. Yes, we have published two draft documents. They relate to what expectations the internet community should have on the root server, the root service, the service as a whole, because it all the 12 operators of root servers cooperate very closely on the technical side to produce a homogeneous service to the entire internet. And that document tries to describe what expectations the community should have on this root service as a whole. It comes in parallel with a document produced by the Internet Architecture Board from the technical body. These two documents describe expectations on various aspects of the root service. So the IAB document is on the protocol side, what should the packets look like and what should the responses look like. And the other one is more service level agreement. You can think of it like the quality and performance of the service. The other document is a document that has come out of the new GTLD system, where new top-level domains are now added at a pace that is something that we've never seen before. In the old days, there could be years without new top-level domains. Now they're adding several per week, which is a totally different timing here. So we want to measure some things with the root servers to be able to see if these new GTLDs and if this pace we're adding stuff has an impact on the service. And if it has that, we need to make sure that we accommodate for that. So that is a document that proposes a number of technical details we can measure about the system, and our hope is that all the root server operators will measure the same things so that we can compare and add to the entire system, so we don't measure one thing here and another thing here, and we have no way to compare the two. So that's what that second document is about. They are draft because they are awaiting this new caucus model, and these two documents will be the first thing that we hand to the caucus for them to work with and finalize and eventually publish. We will participate in the NTIA transition process. I will be on the podium later today in that session, and we already appointed two people to this coordination group, because that's something where we see possible impact for the technical process of generating the zone, because if you take out the NTIA in this process, there will be a difference. And our only goal with participating in this process is to make sure that the provisioning of the system, that the entire process remains stable. That's the only thing we want to worry about. We don't care who gets what domain name, how and where. Not our problem. Our problem is to make sure that the servers work so that the clients, the consumers on the network, get a good service. That's the only thing we really care about. So, questions, comments?
Thank you very much. I'm Nabil Ben Amar from Morocco. I can feel low here. So thanks a lot for your presentation. It's really a lot of details, and it's the first time that I can understand and I can deal with someone who is responsible of the root server system. So it's our pleasure to be with you here. My question is technical. So I was always wondering about the operating system running on the root servers. Operating system, the software, which kind of DNS server that you have in the root servers system. And what about the map of all root servers? I think that there is a map. And how this geographical localization of each A, B through L until L servers is done or is chosen? The last question is about the community that can join ERSAC. Should this be from ISPs or any technical person can join? Thank you very much.
So let me see if I remember that. If you, for the technical question, operating system software and stuff, it's nothing special. Nothing special. It varies from letter to letter because that's something that each operator decides for themselves. So we, operating iRoot, have decided that we use Linux and we use Bind, the Bind software from Internet Systems Consortium. We are, again, iRoot, looking at having some servers run Bind and another group of servers run some other software, and we are evaluating and looking at what to do because we want to have software diversity. And this diversity thing is that something that we stress very carefully within the root server operators community. So we specifically make that decision per operator. So I don't know off the top of my head what the others use, but I know that some of them at least use different operating systems and different software, just to make sure that we don't run into a problem where the software crashes or for all of us at the same time. So we really are careful with maintaining this diversity, this balance. I'll switch the order on the two last ones. No, I don't, because...
The map.
The map, who can join?
Thank you. Who can join? We're looking for any technical people who are involved with DNS technology. Let me put it like that. But it could also be from a security perspective, or it could be from a registry perspective, because the registry is the source for the DNS data. So we really need all of the corners in the DNS world. But apart from that, it doesn't have to be ISP, doesn't have to be, it could be a protocol expert from the IETF, all aspects. The map I will try to show you, if you hang on for just a second. That was too big. I need to shrink the window a bit. There we go. Better. So the web page is www.root-servers.org, not .net. Wakey, wakey. How difficult was this on a scale? So there it is. And you can click the various places to see more information about what servers are located in that specific location, and the IP address, the internet address, both for IPv4 and IPv6. Many servers operate on both networks, not all of them, again, diversity, but there's definitely good root service over IPv6 as well. So www.rootservers.org.
Okay, all right, so Moenda, let me go to...
Okay, I have two questions. My name is Moenda Kivuva. I wanted to know if each root server, the 13 root servers between A and L, does each root server play a different role or they play the same role? Another thing... How do you decide how to distribute these root servers through Anycast, the 13 root servers? How do you decide that M will be in which country, or when an operator is applying for having Anycast presence, how do you decide which root server to be in that region?
So the first question on different roles. No, all the root server letters play exactly the same role. There is an old misconception that a root has a special role. It does not. It's exactly like all the others. 20 years ago, the answer was different, but for the past 10 or 15 years, it's been one or the others, nothing special. we get the zone, the piece of information, the root zone, from other servers, which are specially designated for distributing the zone within the root server system. And there's an entire system of the distribution matrix, which is also very redundant with servers in different parts of the world and so on. So that's a totally different system. A root, B root, they are all equal. When it comes to deciding where to deploy the servers, it's up to each letter, up to each organization, 12 organizations, to decide for themselves where they want to put the servers. I can only speak for iRoot. I can say that we try to maintain a very wide relationship with as many people as we can. We're a very small company. We're only 16 employees. We operate servers in 50 countries. We go to ICANN meetings, ITF meetings, NANOG meetings, RIPE meetings, LACNIC meetings, APNIC meetings. We really try to be approachable. We really try to maintain relationships with as many people we can from as many regions as we can. And from that, we try to find areas where there's not already a root name server, where we can reach a community that's not properly served, where we can find a neutral way to send the traffic. We prefer to connect to exchange points where we can reach many ISPs over the same exchange point than to connect to just a single ISP. And we also, of course, need to find a way to fund these sites. They cost money. There's no one that pays us to run the root service. That's something we don't do for free, so to speak. We have other sources of income from which we take money to operate the root service, but we need to find a way to pay for the machinery, for the installation, and so on. We do cooperate with APNIC in the Asian area. We are trying to establish a relationship with AFRINIC for Africa, and we've talked to them for a long time. We are working on improving our presence in South America, but that's been a problem because the import duty systems in South America are different than the rest of the world. So it becomes hideously expensive for us to send equipment there. So we try. If you have ideas for sites that are underserved, for sites where there is possibility to connect to an exchange point, where there is a chance to find funding, which doesn't have to be yourself, but just that someone can help us to fund the machinery, we are open to new sites. It's the number of sites is not a problem. It's just finding the right location and the funding for them. And I can imagine that the others have the same problems they struggle with. They may have different solutions to them, but this is iRoot's approach to it.
Hello, good morning. My name is Marisa Weber. I'm from Peru. Does the IPv6 address affect the root zone? And if so, how? Thank you.
The root name servers, and in fact the entire DNS system, is designed to handle both IPv4 and IPv6. And there are actually two parts to how this affects the DNS system. One is that you want to be able to store IPv6 addresses in the DNS system. If you have a web server with an IPv6 address, you must be able to put that into the database. The other thing is that when you talk to DNS servers, you want to be able to send your query over IPv6 transport. And the root name servers and the entire DNS system is well equipped to handle that. So I would say, yes, here we go. You can actually see further down on this page that a root has both an IPv4 and IPv6 address. You can use either. It's the same database and the same service. It's just you can go this way IPv4 or this way IPv6 to the same thing. And you can click your way through here and see which servers have IPv4 and v6 addresses. And I think we're actually, there's one who only has IPv4. But as you see, most of them have both. And you can click around here as much as you like. So It does affect the root service, but only a little, and it's already in full service.
Okay, Paul.
Okay, my question it goes to the issue you just raised about the caucus formation. So is it going to be a group of techies and people who are interested in the root server stabilization? And basically, okay, I've not yet, this is the first time I'm hearing about the caucus document, but is it some document you want the public or those interested to actually contribute through a mailing list? That's all. Clarifications.
So, yes, the caucus will be a group of mainly technical experts, yes. And it will operate with the mailing list as the basis, yes. RSAC does have a web page on the ICANN web pages somewhere. I do find the ICANN web pages a bit difficult to navigate, so I cannot really say spot on what the address is. But if you use Google, you'll find the RSAC web pages. And there is a description of what the caucus does and how you apply to become a member of the caucus. But yes, it's mainly focused on technical stuff, yes.
Gui?
Just a quick question. I'm curious. So what is the most threat for the stability of the root server domain? What is the most challenging for you? I mean, the most danger to make it unstable?
Interesting question. Physical attack. No, the physical attack doesn't bother me at all. Because if someone takes out a server, it goes away from the network, and we have 299 still operating. And that's what we do when we shut them down. So whether someone steals the computer or we shut off the power, that's exactly the same thing to the network, and that will be handled fully automatically. So I'm not bothered about physical security. Not the thing. There's actually one thing that scares me, and that is currently the root server operators all fully to 100% agree that we will use the information from the IANA through this process, NTIA, VeriSign, to the root server operators. And the rest of the internet community is also 100% in the same boat. We all agree that IANA is the source, and this is the process for generating the root zone. If it came to a political battle, so that suddenly half of the internet says, yes, use the IANA process like we always did, and the other half says, no, you're going to take it from this political organization over here instead. What could that be? I don't know. It could be the ITU, it could be some other organization. Then NetNode, as a root server operator, would have to make a decision. We suddenly have a choice. Right now, we don't have a choice, and we are very happy with the situation. If we have a choice, we would have to make a decision, and the other operators will also have to make a decision. And if we don't all agree, we will have different sources for the data, and it will not be the same data. So depending on which root server you query, you may get different answers. And that's a path to disaster. So the data source is fine. And if the entire internet agrees that we should move from here to there, it's not a problem. It's having a choice that's the problem.
Well, I and my boss have a little discussion about that, because when the government discussion get in so intense about domain name and IANA, blah blah blah, and then we are wondering in a future like Russia will have their own IANA, and China have their own IANA, and United States have their own IANA. You know what I mean? So, have you thought about that? I mean, and then and it will make the root system instable, right?
I have thought about it, but you're now listening to Lars Johan Liman, not to NetNode, not to RSAC. So these are my own personal thoughts. And this is a scenario that you can definitely imagine if you start to think about it. But if we go that way, the internet as we know it will break down, because you can make a comparison with a telephone system. I often use the telephone system as an analogy, and that would be like having a telephone system where you dial one number in China, you end up with talking to one person, and if you dial the same number in Brazil, you end up talking to another person, and that would break the entire telephone system. And the telephone people agree on this numbering plan, so we should be able to agree on the domain name system plan. And then there's another issue about blocking traffic, but at least you have the notion that if I write this domain name, that's where I want to go. And that's also where secure DNS kicks in and helps you, at least to identify if people are trying to make stupid things with the DNS. You can say that, oops, something's broken here. You cannot really know what it was supposed to be, but you can see that it's broken. It's like, ooh, I don't want to do this.
Nabil.
Yeah, just...
Sorry, Nabil, could you people just remember to say a name before you start the question?
I forgot my question. Sorry.
So we'll come back to you then. So can we have Naveed?
Good morning. My name is Naveed. I just want to get your opinion on this DNSSEC and if it affects the root server system in any way, the kind of maybe resistance or support that you have at RSSEC among the community.
Secure DNS is, I helped actually defining the standard for secure DNS, so I've been involved on I'm very much involved on the IETF side as well. I've been chairman for one of the working groups in the IETF that deals with DNS. I think DNS is a good thing. It does affect the DNS system as a whole, and again, do remember, the root servers are not special. It doesn't affect the root servers more than any other server. So it does affect the entire DNS system in a couple of ways. The good thing is that it gives us a tool, a method to verify the content. So the client that receives the information can see, yes, this is what the other side actually put into the database. No one has modified the data when it passed the internet to come to me as a client. So that's the good thing. There are, of course, drawbacks with this system, as with any other system. It makes life more complicated because you have to regularly sign your data. There are timers, there are expiry dates, there are stuff that we now add to the system that makes it more complicated. But I see there that DNSSEC is very young, and as it matures, as it gets older, we will see more software that helps us to keep track of this. We will, the computer will do that for us, so that's not a big problem. But it's also a problem on the network side, because now when you send a very small DNS query, the server can reply with a very large answer, with lots of crypto signatures and keys and what have you. And that is being abused as an attack tool, an attack tool towards other people. So by sending a DNS query where you lie about the IP address that you have, the from address, you send a small query to a server, a DNS server, it will believe that the query came from someone else because you lied about the IP address. So it will send the response to that IP address over here. So it will be a reflector, and the response is large. So the bad guy can send a very small packet, ping, which becomes a large packet. And if you send many small packets, you will get many large packets hitting that poor victim of the attack. And that becomes much more efficient because normally it was a small query and a small response. So that wasn't much of it wasn't really useful. But with DNSSEC, you get a stronger effect when you do these reflection attacks. And that's something that we're trying to deal with.
Sorry, I just found my question. Nabil Ben Amar, once again from Morocco. So how how come that there are some private organizations that are maintaining the root zones, for example, VeriSign? I was thinking about VeriSign maintaining, for example, .com. It's okay. But what about the root servers itself? Thank you.
That is almost buried in the history. It goes way, way back. It goes back so far as when I started to work with the root server in Stockholm, which was 1992, the root server had not only the root zone, it also had the ARPA zone, the inadder.arpa zone, com, net, org, and edu on the same server. And this was before domain names were commercialized. Today, domain names is something that you trade with. You buy domain names, you sell domain names, you use them for your business. It's become a commercial trade thing. That was not the case at the time. In 1992, the internet had, 100,000 computers on it. Domain names were for free. You just registered your domain name and so on. And VeriSign goes back to network solutions. Were contracted to, let me see if I get this right. Yes, they were contracted by an American agency. I believe it might have been DARPA, the Defense Agency Research Advanced Research Project Agency, who was the funders for the initial research that led to the internet technology. They had a contract with network solutions that were eventually acquired by VeriSign to do parts of this stuff. So it sits in old history. There's, according to me at least, no specific reason for having VeriSign do parts of this, but someone's got to do it. They've been doing it for the past 15, 20 years. They do a very good job. So there's also no reason to ask them to quit, really.
Okay, Sarah.
My name is Sarah Kiden. I wanted to ask about maintenance of the root servers. Is there anyone who provides resources in terms of funding to maintain them or staffing, or is it a collective responsibility? Thank you.
It is not a collective responsibility. Each and every root server operator has their own financial model for how to do this. I can again speak for iRoot, how we do it at NetNode. NetNode has two business branches. One is that we operate exchange points for internet for ISPs in Sweden. The other one is that we operate DNS services mainly for TLDs.
Excuse me.
So we have customers which are registries, and we have DNS servers from which we publish their data. So they don't need to worry about operating DNS servers.
Excuse me, is there any water?
Water.
Yep.
And that is a commercial service that we sell. And we have all these 50 installations from which we can sell service to TLDs. So we have, I think it's close to 40 top-level domains that we operate from the same server cluster. Thank you so much. The same server cluster that operates the root service. It's not the same machines, because we always put a couple of machines in, but they are installed in the same facilities. From that, we get money. And we use part of that money to fund the root servers, but also the rest of the machinery, of course. But that's a win-win situation, because the TLDs they're buying service from us, but they know that when they buy service from NetNode, they also pay for the root service, and they depend on the root service for their own business. So it works out pretty well for us. Now, other operators have totally different financial models. Okay. That's two of them, for instance, are the military service.
Good morning.
First of all, Mr. Fadi Shahedi, thank you, Lars. I didn't mean to cut across you, but we do, at this point in time, want to welcome to our table. I know he's a very extraordinarily busy man, a person who I admire greatly, a man of humility, and also a communicator. So without any further ado, because I know he is busy, Mr. Fadi Shahedi.
Thank you, and good morning to you. We work you hard here at ICANN, huh?
Yeah.
There is no break. It is not a picnic. I think this is my fourth meeting today. There's a lot of work at ICANN. So I'm sure as fellows you know that this is it's a community that requires a lot from us. And it requires us to give a lot, but I can assure you, you get back a lot. I have children. I don't know how many of you have children, and my children are grown now. They're in their 20s. And I don't know if you know about the BCG study that was done last year. I think it's a fantastic study and very funny as well, where they went and asked people by region, what would they give up? The internet or coffee for a year? Which one would they give up more? Or they even asked them, would you give up the internet or showering for a year? Would you give up the internet or sex for a year? They asked people these questions around the world. It's actually a lot of fun. You should go look up that study. It was done by the Boston Consulting Group. But it was just to actually show how the internet has become vital. And that study, by the way, is by region. So it actually shows you, for example, what Chinese people would think about giving up coffee versus the internet as opposed to, say, Italian people. It's very, very interesting. But the bottom is, when I showed it to my children, I mean, they could not even understand the questions being asked because the internet is, I mean, they live in the internet. They live in the internet. I mean, I recently said in a conference that there was all these government officials talking about cyberspace. So I stood up and told them, cyberspace is dead. All space is cyber. There's no more cyberspace and real space. All space is cyber. Our lives are cyber. I was working a few years ago in early projects to work on the Internet of Things. This is now 2007, 2008. We were just in the early stages of that. I was at the time working on a major project in Dubai to make plants completely networked. Because in Dubai, obviously, they have a small problem with water. They don't have much of it. And so they didn't want to just water the plants because it was time to water them. They wanted to water the plants because the sensor in the root of the plant said, I need water. And then they would drip it. So we were essentially networking the plants, building the plants that talk to the network and say, ah, a few drips of water now. Mm. Oh, stop, I have enough water, that kind of thing. And it was remarkable. Or in Los Angeles, one of the big problems of pollution is looking for a parking space. So we were building a project where the parking spaces across the city of Los Angeles have sensors that talk to the GPS in your car. So when you arrive to an area, say, I want to park now, the GPS finds the nearest empty parking spot instead of you circling the blocks 20 times. A lot of projects like this, and this was just the beginning. In 2008, 2009, we were just starting. Now everybody talks about the Internet of Things, but it will happen. It is already in many, many, many things. In your bodies, there will be things that talk to the Internet, your plants, your dog, your kids, your refrigerator. The networking of things is remarkably impressive, and it will do many, many good things. But all of this, when you add it all up, as I said, the dependence on the internet, as I described, you know, coffee, you know, versus internet, and the Internet of Things, if you combine these two, it means the governance of all this becomes central to the governance of the planet. And this is why on Monday we had all these governments here. They didn't come because Ed Vasey, the minister, invited them. They are here because governance of the internet is now central to the governance of the world. The internet economy alone will drive $4.2 trillion in 2016 in the G20 economies. I'm not speaking about the pharmaceutical industry that needs the internet. This is purely internet economy. This is massive. 5-6%. It's bigger than energy in some countries. But let me flip the coin and tell you why it's important all of you are here. What percent of these $4.2 trillion of internet economy are generated in the developing world? Peanuts. That's the right answer. Peanuts. That's not right. My kids in Los Angeles cannot live without the internet. But when I went to the Durban meeting of ICANN, Durban is the second largest city in the richest country in Africa. On Thursday, today, I woke up early, and with many of ICANN attendees, we got on a bus. Any of you were there for that trip?
Well, I didn't go to the bus, but I wasn't.
Remember?
Yeah.
We went on a bus early, it was a rainy morning, and we went to a school in Durban, a middle school, you know, kids in the age of 10 to 15, and we painted the whole school that morning. We had paint, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And then after we painted the school, I was all full of paint, and they said, look, you have to go into a classroom and talk to the kids. I said, okay, why not? So I went into a classroom. Actually, all of us divided, and we talked to the whole school. My classroom had maybe 30, 40 kids, age 13. So I wanted to explain to them what ICANN does. So I started by saying, oh, ICANN does this for the internet. And then their faces looked completely puzzled. So I asked, do you guys understand what I'm talking about? Okay. I said, how many people here have heard about the internet? And one kid raised his hand. And he said, I don't know what it is, sir, but my mom told me about it. My mom has it. My mom has it, he said. I was cold. This is 2015 or 14. And I could not believe myself. It was like we landed on a different planet and suddenly we need to tell them we have the internet. And it ached me. I left that school that day saying, you know, we're sitting here fighting on who decides who gets champagne, adult wine, and half the kids of this planet don't have the opportunity my kids live in. Something is not right about this. Something is not right about this. We have a lot of work to do. So now you say, okay, then let's all quit ICANN and let's go work in places that are enabling access. Maybe. If that's what drives your heart, by all means go there. And I know where I'm going after ICANN. That's where I want to go. Having said this, if we don't govern the internet right, then these young kids one day will have access, and they should have access. But they will have access to an internet that is lopsided against them, that is not governed fairly and properly for them. So both issues are important. We need to enable everyone to have equal participation in this fabulous resource called the internet. It is a fabulous resource. It breaks all barriers. So much divides us, but the internet can unite us. But we have to govern it right. We have to govern it right. And at ICANN, the focus, so you don't get confused, is only on governing the names and numbers. So not only ICANN doesn't deal with access, ICANN doesn't deal with all internet governance. Lest you are confused, we only deal with names and numbers. This is a technical area. But recently, you may have seen me talk about internet governance in broader terms. This is because ICANN lives in the ecosystem of the internet. If the rest of the ecosystem is not well governed, we are going to also be affected. And this is why we keep going to meeting after meeting in the ITU and in And everybody's fighting over internet governance. We need to end this and give the world, participate in giving the world clarity on how the internet should be governed. And for this, I ask you to read and reread the Net Mundial principles. Net Mundial was a breakthrough moment, not because it invented anything, because these principles have been talked about for a long time, but that we came together and produced a set of principles, and we agreed, okay, we're going to base everything forward on these. Now we have to build a governance ecosystem that lives by these principles. So now you see the significance when you have the Minister of Internet for China reporting to the President of China, sent by the President of China, to an ICANN meeting. You would say, why is this powerful man coming to an ICANN meeting? We only deal with names and numbers. But he came to deliver an important message. He said, we welcome the Net Mundial principles. This is the most important thing he said. Ignore everything else. China endorsed the Net Mundial principles. Why is that important? The Net Mundial principles may not use the word multi-stakeholder, but they are multi-stakeholder. Open, inclusive governance, consensus-based. It's all the things we believe in simple, well-written principles. Brazil embraced them. China embraced them. The world embraced them. There was only one dissent, and it was from Russia. And if you read it carefully, Russia and Cuba didn't say we're against the Net Mundial principles. They said we didn't like the process because it was a new process. Governments are not used to line up at a microphone and be equal to everybody else. It's new. So they said, this is uncomfortable for us. Fine. They'll get used to it. They'll get used to it. But the rest of the world moves forward. This is the promise of the next 15 years, which you will help me lead, because you know I'm aging fast in this job, and I need you to come and take this job over. One of you, I am certain, will be, many of you, I hope, will be part of the ICANN fabric, and it's a very beautiful fabric. It's a colorful fabric, and I'm doing everything I can to make it accessible for everyone. It wasn't when I arrived, I must tell you. ICANN, as I said on my first day on the job, ICANN was a bit of a fortress. Huh? And it was a fortress because you build a mentality of, we have something so precious that we need to protect it. And the way we protect it is we put walls. And I've been doing nothing but breaking these walls, because ICANN should not be a fortress. As I said, ICANN should be an oasis. And for those of you like me who grew up in places where we have oases, an oasis is a beautiful green spot in a very big desert that can be seen from long places. And when you arrive, it has no walls. It's open. It's welcoming. It's refreshing. It allows you to feel part of the process. No one shows up an oasis in the desert of Egypt and is told away without water. No one, even if it's your enemy. Because that's the rule of an oasis. It's open. We don't exclude anyone. You have to live by our principles of openness and inclusivity, and then you're welcome. You as fellows, one last thing, and I want to take a few of your questions. I want to tell you that as fellows, you... this is, in my opinion, one of the most successful programs at ICANN, period, by far. And I told Janice a year ago to double it, and I think we doubled it this year. And as soon as she is with us and back on her feet, and she will be because she's amazing, with the help of her colleagues, we will triple this program. We have to triple it. It is the most important program we have. Yesterday I was talking to a major software vendor who told me, I want to help at ICANN with activities, and what programs should we pick to focus on? This is a major, major company in the world. I won't mention them because I'll let them announce this. And I told them, invest in the fellowship program. And this is not just money. I mean, money is not always the issue. It's also energy and time and global awareness and bringing people on board. And they committed to do that. So you'll be hearing from them soon. But this is a very important part of ICANN. It is our future. Just like the users are the heart of ICANN, I said this at the ALAT meeting the other day, the fellowship program is really the future of ICANN. And I want to tell you one thing about this. We do have people who are still building fortresses at ICANN. You will try to work in some areas and you'll find immediately people putting walls and saying, you know, who are you? To get in, you have to be. Break them. Break through these walls. Do not accept walls. Work hard and break them. Or every one of us needs to make this an oasis, not just me. Do not let anyone tell you they're more of an ICANN person than you. No one. I don't care how many years they have. I'm new, and like you, when I arrived, a lot of people tried to tell me, oh, you don't know anything about us. If you look at the scripts of my first 2-3 meetings, person after person stand up at the mic and says, you don't know our community. You're not one of us. Huh? This is very important. Now, not everybody's like that. There are many people in ICANN who welcomed me and will welcome you. But I'm saying, when you see people who tell you you're not one of us, call them out on it. Don't cower. Quite the opposite. Put them back in their place, because ICANN is yours as much as it is mine or anyone's. And if we let those who believe it's theirs and they can control any part of it win, we all lose. And this is not the spirit of the fellowship. Okay? So promise me this. This is very important. And call it out and write me. If you feel people are really putting walls and you try once, twice, and you can't break through, write me. This is an illness that needs to be extracted from ICANN. Okay? Because people will protect their turf. And there is no turf at ICANN. There is no turf. It's a big oasis and there's a place for everyone. I can take a couple of questions, but please go ahead. You manage this, no, not me. Well, no, I get into trouble when I manage this.
Oh, well, okay. It's okay for me to get into trouble. All right. Well, let's be... I saw one lady stand, so can we just take Gui?
My name is Gui. I'm from Indonesia. Well, I'm so impressed by you. I followed this ICANN meeting since 2009, and since you became the president of ICANN, you did many changes, actually, and I appreciated that. And regarding that, you said that the place that haven't the kids, the young, that haven't had yet internet connection.
Really heartbreaking that movement around the world to get all these people on board. They're excluded. It's almost like you're having a meal and there are people sitting outside hungry. I mean, we have to think about it in these terms, you know. Can you sit and have a lavish meal while people are sitting outside? They can't even eat. And we're arguing over, you know, the meal, you know, the quality of the wine that we're having. And meanwhile, somebody outside doesn't have bread. Mm. So it becomes very hard for us to... and we have to fix this. This is a big problem. But let me be clear. I know it's emotional for you. But this is, we have to be careful to know that this is not ICANN's remit. Right? Having said that, we should speak about it or... engage elsewhere where we can help with it. And I will. I personally will. But I can't do it at ICANN because we cannot make big institutions do things that they shouldn't be doing. ICANN is about governance of names and numbers. But access is important. And I, as a leader, and you as a leader, all of us should speak about it. We should tell people this is not fair. We can't continue having fights over food when some people are dying of hunger. It's not right.
You are also the man of great influence. So this is a request from me because like, I've seen many kids even doesn't know what this computer is. Yeah. And meanwhile, we have like sophisticated laptop and smartphone, and it is really it is not fair for them. And then, this is my request. I mean, I know this is not the main business of ICANN. You only deal with names and numbers, but then with your influence to gather the attention from another multi-stakeholders, please drive them. I mean, to spend a space of your research, even money, skills, or everything that build this unlucky people, because, well, I'm a government. As a government, we do our best to, I mean, to make the infrastructure equal for everybody, but still, we cannot, like, walk alone as well. I mean, that I have seen during the ICANN meeting, another stakeholders don't care about that. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm so. I have to be honest. They don't care about that because they. The most important for them is how much money they can get. Yeah. It is not wrong. It's true, because once they get money, it also help the country. I don't against that, but please. I mean, from like 1 to 10, the space of your business. Spend 1, 2, 3 for people who maybe cannot repay you in return.
I must tell you that I'm touched by your care for those who don't have this resource, and it's remarkable that we are now seeing the emotion, which is real, very real, for internet access. It has become a vital way for our kids and our communities to actually prosper and live well. It's no longer a luxury. And that's why you're crying, because you ache for the people who don't have access. I want to tell you just quickly, I am deeply committed to the pain you're feeling. And I'm doing something about it. I just met a king of a very, very rich country. And he was telling me, oh, we want to do all of this by 2020 to make our country this, that, and that. And I said, Your Highness, how about you connect 1 million schools in the developing world to the internet? And he looked at me, he said, because he was talking about building buildings and cities. And I said, how about your kingdom, which has enormous resources, connecting 1 million middle schools? This was all because of my Durban experience. Middle schools, I told him, intermediate schools. There is only 6% of schools on the planet are connected to the internet. I told him, how about we break that? He said, send me a proposal. I'm preparing the proposal. But so I am using the time I have with these leaders to also put them on notice that they have a global responsibility. And I explained to him in the proposal, I'll explain to him why it's good for his kingdom as well. It's not just that he's being benevolent. No, because a connected world for a small kingdom is very good, because it makes them global. The more people can access the internet, it makes businesses and kingdoms and other people reach a global community. So I made it, I'm preparing a proposal, and I hope he says yes.
Thank you very much. I think the emotion that Dwi shows is what all of us are feeling. I mean, when you talked about Durban, Durban is very close to where I live. My name is Khaumu, so I'm from Botswana. It's very close to where I live, and South Africans are a little bit more privileged than we are. And when you spoke about that, it took me back years ago. The first time I saw a computer, I think I was 10. The first time I used
that was 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
The first time I used a computer, I was 14. And that's only because I went to, I was lucky enough to go to one of the most prestigious schools in the region. But most of my peers, the first time they used a computer was at university, which would be some 6 years later. Okay, and at the age of 20 is the first time you're using a computer. And You know, this should just show you how much access is a big issue, and I think from that point onwards, and I committed that I was going to do everything that I can with what I've got to make sure that kids in schools do get access, even if it's just one computer in, you know, the whole school. I don't come from one of those remote areas. My village is actually one of the biggest in the country. But still, you have schools, even in the city, that don't have access to computers. I mean, it's improving now, but I think in terms of access, we have a long way to go. I mean, I come from Botswana, which is one of the world's biggest producers of diamonds. Yeah. And therefore, the GDP per capita is really high. But we still have to battle with those issues of access. So I think we all share. I mean, when you were speaking there, I cried a little because, like I say, it took me back years ago. So I think, you know, in closing, we all have a responsibility to do what we can with what we've got where we are.
I have to run, but I want to pick up on something beautiful you just said. We all have a responsibility, all. And with that, I'm going to ask you for a specific request. A lot of people are putting me at the center of this debate. Yes, I will use my influence, but don't make me the point. The point is all of us. Huh? Fadi one day will be gone. It's not about Fadi. It's about the internet and the users of the internet. And all of us are equally responsible. I do my part, you do your part, all of us do our part, and we will get it right. But let's be equally committed, equally committed. You have mine, okay? I'm going to run, but I want to do one thing before I go. I'm just going to go around and shake everybody's hand so that at least I had that opportunity, okay?
And Fadi, before you go, We would like to compile our questions and send them to you because we have so many of them. Yeah.
Please send the questions to Janice or to Jeannie.
Mr. Yeah, thank you. Please give a round of applause to Mr. Fadi Shahedi. And I just want to, on behalf of all of us here, thank Mr. Shahedi Fadi for coming to see us, and we really do appreciate it. And he has left the room. Oh, no, he's not.
Hi, Janice. I know you're there. This is Adrian.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I do what I can. Thank you. Anytime you want, just let me know. I was actually thinking about giving my services for free. So if you need someone to organize the fellows before each meeting,
I know.
Just let me know and I can repeat it as many times as needed.